Hey yo, everybody listen to me. You're listening to the Word Podcast from Atomic City Comics in Philadelphia, man.
What's going on, man? It's me, Booker T, man. And I'm here with the Word Podcast, man. It's unbelievable, man.
Oh my, Mr. Ryans, who are all these strange folks we have in the weird circle with us tonight? I can tell you, this isn't Mr. Paul there, no, this is the Hator coming to you live with the Word Podcast.
It's been too long since the Word has got together to do a podcast, especially one on wrestling, yeah. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to do the damn thing, show you that space is the place and the sky's the limit, yeah. And here we are, we're going to do it. And that's the bottom line, because the Macho Man said so. Somebody say word. That's what I'm talking about. Here we are back, and we're doing another pro wrestling episode. Can you dig it?
Ooh, yeah!
Woo! I like
That's
it.
Why you do the Macho Man impersonation, because mine is terrible.
I'm so glad you dug,
Mike Rogan. That is fantastic. So yeah, we're talking about pro wrestling. It's gonna be a good one. So last night was Survivor Series.
Same age as me now. Wow. 25, yeah. There, here you go. 26. No, not yet.
Survivor Series is a youngster.
Yeah.
So let's go around. I know we just did a bunch of introductions and shit. Let's go around and do one more time. Who's with us? We got our returning champion, El Frog.
Thank you.
So glad to have him back in the house. We have another returning champion, Danny.
What up, Chris? What's going on, man? It's good to be back.
Cool. And actually, we have a superstar in the building.
Five time.
It's first time on the show. He did the fantastic Razor Ramon impression. Ian.
Hey, how you doing?
Yes.
Good evening.
Good evening.
This is my regular voice.
But that mask is not your regular face, man.
This is my regular voice. It was awesome.
So Survivor Series last night. You know, we were just watching a little bit, and we get everyone's thoughts. What do you think? Like, how do you think the wrestling industry is going right now? Are we happy with it? Because I mean, I got some shit that I'm not happy about, but I figure we talk about that, get out the way.
Well, I mean, I'm actually
speak, broke. Yeah.
You know,
tell us what your thoughts are.
Here's the thing. Like, when it became World Wrestling Entertainment, that's when I kind of fell off, and I was like, I'm not doing this anymore, because you guys want to be entertainers and not wrestlers. And then I started, you know, watching it again, just, you know, because I was home, I wasn't doing anything, and it started picking up again, you know. And the whole, what really got me, like, watching full time again was the first CM Punk rant that happened early this year, in which I was like, okay, we have something here. So this guy got his mic cut off, he came out here and he did a shoot on the whole industry and crushed it. And I was just like, yo, this is like beyond what Austin like could have done. Like, he is like the next step in like anti-hero, like how Steve Austin was. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Laurinaitis is this big man. That's all it is.
No, I totally agree. Like, the last, since they signed, what, CM Punk's been with the company for 7 years now?
Yeah.
But you notice, like, there was an influx of a lot of indie guys coming in, just appearing on regular TV, and you know, we live in Philadelphia, which is kind of a mecca for independent wrestling, so it's really awesome seeing guys 10, 15 years ago who were just wrestling in the asylum,
yeah, totally,
or whatever, just you know, on national TV. And I think as a wrestling fan, you know, we all grew up in the 80s, we all saw how it was. None of us are old enough to remember the territories, you know, stuff my dad would see, but I think this is the best time to be a fan, because it's kind of catering to the young kids, to the marks, and to the smarts, which is totally, like, CM Punk is that avatar for people that sit on the internet and read about all the backstage stuff, and that's what he was doing. Even though, you know, totally. It was a shoot, but they had planned camera angles.
It was totally planned.
So,
yeah.
There's something that's never really been out there before, and WWE's been really
hesitant to have any kind of acknowledgement of anything that's internet-related or fan-related. Yeah. In fact, it was almost like they go out of their way when somebody out there is making some prediction that's going to be, oh, it's going to be like this. It's like they'll go out of their way to not do it that way. And just out of nowhere, they bring CM Punk in, and he just surfs this whole internet phenomenon, knows exactly what to say, exactly what to do, and it just works, man. It just works.
But I like how they're letting CM Punk be him. That, I mean, that's something they haven't done in a while, just let totally. Superstars... Oh, my God, I can't believe I just said that.
Superstars.
When they let the wrestlers, you know, let their character be an extension of themselves. They haven't done that in a while, I think. I mean, I really don't want to believe that R-Truth, that's a bit of an extension of himself.
Well, I was about to ask about that, like, in terms of character, because, you know, I haven't... The Hator has not watched, never speaking to first person.
The hate says.
No, seriously, I haven't watched wrestling in a long time, and I get a lot of it, you know, vicariously through you guys. But how many of the characters that they, you know, give wrestlers now, do they give them? Because you're talking about, you know, somebody like CM Punk actually getting the ability to be an extension of himself, like be a character that's an extension. How difficult must it be for you to come into the industry, you know, being athletic or whatever, maybe having a little bit of, like, you know, mic skills and not being able to do a character that, you know, is anything interesting at all? Like, how do you get to that point where you can just be an interesting character? You know what I mean?
You come to any local shows where they're still working the kinks out, you know, because it's like, you know, I produced that comedy wrestling show last summer, and that was one thing that a lot of the comedians were kind of working because they thought, oh, I'm going to be Steve Austin, I'm just going to yell at people. But it doesn't work with a crowd. You can't have everybody just constantly yelling at the crowd. Everybody wants to be that badass. And it doesn't always work. You know, did you, Frog, come to one of them? Or
I didn't make it this time, unfortunately.
Damn, you should have just lied and said yes.
I was there. Make it I was there in like the shadows, man. I was
make
the,
it sound like
the secret
a success
force.
On the internet.
Nobody else on the other side of the mic would have known.
Yeah, yeah. See, dude? Internet,
I was there. You didn't realize who I was there.
Yeah,
was...
you know, cutting promos is crazy. I do a lot of improv and sketch comedy in the city, too, and it's the same thing. It's like, you don't always, you know, you don't, if you constantly crack jokes, it's not always the funniest thing to do. And look at Rock's character. It kind of ties into what you were saying earlier, like how his character has changed from 1995 to now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, pardon me. That was the thing with, like, a lot of guys. They had, like I'm talking way back in the day, Roddy Piper back, you know, when he was first starting out, like, 16 or something like that.
Yeah.
All those guys, they had so many years to really work on their persona instead of, like, and I guess, like, in WWE, they do, like, the it's almost like that cookie-cutter shit where they're like, all right, you're this guy, and you do this. Go. You know, now they do that as opposed to
totally.
The way it was, like, you know, gosh, I'm an old man, like, you know, like, 10, 15 years ago or whatever, you know, with the start of the Attitude Era where they just let... Like, and that's what I like. It was more organic. They just let themselves come out and be more, you know, just like took like, you know, themselves and took like, you know, a notch higher or something like that.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, and like, that's what people, as far as I'm concerned, like, you know, that's what they latched onto. I love that shit.
That's what they've done since about the late 90s when they figured out we just can't throw out some, you know, the wrestler of the week that's a gimmick of some sort, the wrestling trash man or the wrestling IRS agent, whatever.
Dude,
you know,
the dumpster Drew.
What they do now is they take and
Hall
it's
of Fame 2012.
Nice.
But it's tougher for a wrestler to come in into the WWE now because you're expected to be able to take and find whatever it is that's your essence and your personality and expand that, amplify it, and turn it into a larger-than-life character. And not everyone can do that. So there's guys in the WWE that are cruising on their talent, but they can't do it on the mic skills because their personality's just not there. But that's they don't give you a gimmick anymore. It's you and wherever you can take you from where you are.
Well, look at Zack Ryder. Like that, he's like the Barry Horowitz of the company.
That dude's awesome.
And he got a huge push because he sat around on Twitter and was just like, you know what? I'm just going to make YouTube videos because I'm not doing anything right now. And now he's getting a huge push.
So. Well, you know what, man? The problem that I'm having with today's wrestling is every time I tune in to try to see something good, I'll stick in for about a half hour. And then something just reminds me of why I'm not watching it no more.
Yeah.
It's just too much. You know, it's like a sitcom, a TV show. And that's not what I was brought up on. I'm sorry. You know, it was wrestling first, entertainment later. You know, they had a little beef outside and their little interviews and videos, but it's just too much and it's taken away. And like Frog was saying, guys come in and they can have pure raw talent in the ring.
But if they don't have it
on the mic, they're like, okay, you're class B. Who's the guy who can entertain the crowd and do a body slam? You, I'll take you. Step right on up.
That's
the problem I got with it.
No, I agree with you. Dan, don't get me wrong. I was about
Church,
to say, isn't that
tabernacle.
Yeah, seriously, you know what I mean? You up at the pulpit, but isn't that part of the whole? Isn't that part of as not really an insider? When I see wrestling go like you know through the roof popularity wise, it's the same thing that happens to any other medium. Like, you don't have as much time to grow because the business doesn't have as much time to worry about you. If you've got athletic skills but no mic skills, you know what? You're going to make some matches look really good for somebody else that does have mic skills.
Word.
But you're never going to be a superstar, and we're not worried about that. And if you can't figure it out for yourself and just be, you know, a cog in that machine, then, hey, that's your problem. Like, I mean, that is kind of, you know, kind of shameful, but it's what comes with the territory of having all that popularity and money.
And you know what? Just like in the music industry, it's what sells. Yeah. You know, you can tell Vince, you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong. He's like, look at my paychecks. You know, he's a kingpin. Well, he took wrestling to an entertainment biz, and whatever made him money, he stuck with it, and he went. Then the center was wrestling. Everything else was a show, and that's what it is now. It's not, you know, it's just too much entertainment for me, man. I just can't do it.
The one thing that's kind of nice now is that because of the internet, too, we were saying earlier, there's a lot more flavors of it around now. Because we're talking like,
we're just talking
about WWE, like it's the only show in town now. There's TNA, which is ass. I try to watch, I can't.
Oh, man.
But then you have all these great indie, like you have Ring of Honor, you have CZW, you have Chikara, you have CMLL, you have AAA down in Mexico. There's a new show that just wrapped into LA. I think it's Lance Storm and Tommy Dreamer involved with it. But I got the name right here. Hold on, it's this new one. It's Wrestling Revolution Project, and that's a completely different thing where it's guys that are established in the business. Like you recognize them from being in all the other companies,
right?
But with completely new characters. A buddy of mine was working on it, and just from hearing about the project, and he's like, "Yeah, these guys." Like he didn't tell me any of the ins and outs of who the characters are, but he was just like. You know, it's like Kenny Omega is one of the dudes, and he's one of like his video. Like thousands of people look at his YouTube videos because they're so awesome. Like, he's such an entertaining guy wrestling. Like he tells a story wrestling, right? He does a Final Atomic Buster. You know, that's yes.
Are you serious?
Yeah, he does a Final Atomic Buster. He's like this skinny dude that does the Final Atomic Buster
with long curly like dirty blonde hair.
Yeah, he does Hadouken. Like
he does.
Moves.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll stand in the corner, cock his hands back like, and go running and shoot forward and do it.
Yeah.
Hey, if The Rock can get away with moves, he can do a Hadouken in the damn ring. Give it to him.
The People's Elbow is a devastating attack. You need to recognize the applications of The Rock bottom and the people's. Come on, he like the leg goes over a bit, and that's how he charges up the power. When the leg like goes over like that, bam, he brings it down, and it's 1, 2, 3.
I got you, because it's a fancy old Dusty Rhodes elbow. See Rock
exactly
stops. No. Rock,
I'm trying to score
listen. No, what I'm saying is, Rock stops and drops right down. Yeah. You know, Dusty used to run and cock it and get right into you. But either way, it was a finisher, so I'll give it that. But here's a finisher I'm not feeling. John Cena.
It's a super fireman's carry.
I like his original.
Oh, excuse me?
It's a super fireman's carry.
Yeah, how is it?
That's the problem that I'm having.
Up and over, buddy. Come on.
He did it to Mark. It was Brock Lesnar's finisher, too, but he did it the opposite direction. That's because it was really called the
Brock made it look good.
He's just dumping you over.
That's all he's doing.
How devastating
is
it? His one was like the sidewalk. It was like a.
I'm sorry.
He called it the Protoplex or whatever.
Protoplex.
That was his original finisher. Yeah, yeah.
Let me ask you a question.
Now he shakes his shoulders and drops a fist on you.
He'll do a Protoplex every so often.
The hate has to know something. Y'all remember
when we used to watch cartoons about wrestlers?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. All right. You remember Junkyard Dog?
Yes. Yeah. That scary motherfucker. Yes.
And it was heroes and villains animated running around doing adventures on trains and all kinds of nonsense, right?
Lariats and all that.
What would it take for us to get a new wrestling cartoon, and what the hell would that look like now?
It's Chikara Wrestling, man.
Really. Well, no, I just I meant like an actual
animated.
Yeah,
I don't want an animated wrestling cartoon until I get my fucking ice cream bars back.
Speaking of ice cream bars,
that's all I want.
Speaking of ice cream bars, the first thing CM Punk said when he came out to that on Raw? Well, now that I'm the face of the WWE, where are those damn ice cream bars?
Yeah, let's get that going, guys.
I like the plug-in.
That guy wants one.
I like
one.
The plug-in. I'm loving CM Punk, dog.
Let me just talk about
TNA real quick.
Oh shit! Well, all right,
You want to talk about the cartoon? No, I mean that's a great question.
I just wanted to know.
Well, go ahead. Wait.
That's a great question.
My question is:
could one work today?
No, I'm not. Doesn't ask if it could work.
No, the hate is asking
what it would look like. Because I know that for the equivalent, I don't watch enough wrestling, but I know that The Rock would take Hogan's spot on the cartoon. Yeah. Okay?
Cena would.
See, that's for all the Jimmy.
You understand.
That's not fair. Exactly. A cartoon character.
The world we live in. I'm going to tell you right now. The world we live in right now is we all know The Rock is not only talented on the mic. He can sell moves. He can wrestle.
Yeah.
He can wrestle. You can hate him or love him, he can wrestle. Can also act a little bit.
How could anyone hate him?
Well, I'm just saying.
I mean,
right?
I hate everyone.
Right? Rock left a little bit, did this movie thing. Blah, blah, blah. They needed a new face because Austin, you know.
His knees were done.
So they needed a new era and all that. So they built up Cena. The only thing is, Cena puts kids in the seats. It's like Rey Mysterio. Reason why Rey Mysterio is around is because he brings Mexicans. I'm not even trying to be racist.
Yeah.
He brings
ships him in. Come on,
think from the mind of Vince McMahon real quick. Seriously, think from the mind of Vince McMahon real quick. The guy that okayed Crime Time. Okay,
yeah. They had a great finisher though. Love that finisher.
But anyway. He brings Mexican kids to the seats. Him and Del Rio, they're both Mexican. You know what I'm saying? He's good, though. He's the only, exception. You know what I'm saying? But Mexico City did, incredible numbers.
Yeah.
Incredible numbers. People wanted their Rey Mysterio Jr. mask on their face. He's their little Bret Hart. I'm not even fucking with you.
I just got back.
He's the little Bret Hart.
I was in Mexico. Yeah, I just got back from Mexico a week ago and for my job. And I have a Sin Cara mask with me because he's huge down there.
He's huge.
The guy just got injured last night. He's probably going to be fired next week. But
it was a fucked up injury. It was he didn't get a chance to wrestle.
I'm in La Isla Mall, which is the big mall in Cancun, and there's posters of Sin Cara and Alberto Del Rio everywhere. Little kids, I was walking around the airport with his mask on when I was leaving, and kids were like freaking out because I was wearing this one of my friends. She's wearing the black one because there was a bad guy version of him for a little bit. But I was talking.
I forgot what his name was.
Sin Cara Negro was.
Sin Cara Negro.
Yeah.
The black one.
Wow. I know.
Holy cow!
There's no white guys in this room, by the way. Which is yeah.
No, but seriously, the biggest wrestling audience right now are Hispanic people.
Well, and
NASCAR people.
Is that true, El Frog?
I don't know about that.
Huge growing Mexicans, demographic population. Mexican.
He's an expert.
He knows what happens all wrong before it happens.
Yeah.
He did it 6 times in a row. It's kind of scary.
So we actually
thought he worked for them.
I think he still does. Rogue Dizzy. If what you're saying is true, and Cena has to become Hogan.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
He's a capeless Superman. Yeah.
Absolutely.
See, I liked Hogan. That's my problem.
Saying?
I liked Hogan.
He dropped the whole hip-hop thing.
Yeah.
Did the whole Marine thing.
Rap.
Super American.
I'm not going to lie. I used to love Cena when he was a heel.
When he was a heel,
when he was doing the rapping thing and all that kind of shit. I'm like, okay, this kid.
Because when he first did the rapping thing, he was laid back. He was chilling.
Yeah. And I don't know, just now, it's just like they just turned him into Superman. And you know, he stopped doing the rap thing and whatnot. He's like, well, I don't need that. I got popular by literally, being black. Now I can stop being black.
Literally, like,
you know, and then he's like, let me just start saluting motherfuckers. And, it's just...
After that shitty movie came out, he got camouflage t-shirts, chain gang, and so, all that shit. All that shit.
Gotta remember, that shit'll sell, though.
It'll sell, exactly.
So, but wait, here's so my question is,
Hogan was doing the same thing.
Can we not have, you know, something as ridiculous as, like, you know, the Middle Eastern guy and the black guy and the white guy and the Asian guy? Like,
no, dude, no. What you're gonna have is you're gonna have John Cena, then you're gonna have... Sheamus, you're gonna have Sheamus doing it. Some dude doing Sheamus, which is gonna have the even bigger Irish accent.
You know, and that's
some Hispanic dude doing Rey Mysterio with an even thicker Mexican accent. Kofi Kingston going back to the Jamaican
first
accent.
Off,
they're gonna
first
be,
off,
they're, it's gonna be
off,
just exactly
up,
as much as the cartoon.
My man
before.
Is from Africa.
Okay.
That's, I'm like, when
is
I
he
first,
actually even from Africa?
Yo, he's from Africa.
Okay.
And he's playing off this Jamaican thing. I'm like, no, nigga, you're African.
They changed it recently. Just only recently they've been saying he's from Ghana, West Africa.
Yeah, because he stopped wearing the fucking...
No, he's still wearing the Jamaican colors.
Yeah, he was...
That's the weirdest thing.
He was wearing a Stormtrooper outfit talented. One time. That was
hey, you know what, though? Wrestle. Check this out, though. But the problem is, getting back to what, Joe, what you were saying about why can't it be, like, racist versus certain races.
Oh, I don't want it to be.
No,
I'm just saying.
No, but you know what it was? Back in the day, since it was considered more of a sport, when you had a man from Russia...
Yeah.
From Iran, it was already my country versus your country,
right?
So and a lot of that entertainment was all built around that. Sure, right. Iron Sheik, all the Russians were hated. If you couldn't be a good Russian wrestler,
straight up
Rocky. It worked. You know, yeah, we had Bob Backlund. After Bob Backlund, we had Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
And when they carry, you know, so but now it's all entertainment. So now it's like even if they fighting, man, they good friends.
I think it's
whereas the wrestling when we grew up. Yeah. These guys were not allowed to be seen next to each other. Like, they stayed in two different hotels, heels and you never seen heels and faces
that,
together. Yeah, all of them. Because that's how you sold the show. These guys don't like each other, and you're going to pay to see them kick each other's ass.
Because that was before we found out. That's what it happened, man. When we found out. When CBS, never forget it, brought out that special about
what, wrestling's fake?
About how fake wrestling
Joe,
is.
Sorry, we had
is that how where you found out,
really
Mike Roker?
Huh?
That's where you found out?
Yeah.
No, I found out by going to an actual live show for the first time. And I was like, oh, no, okay, this is not television at all.
Well, you know, I think if I was like an 8-year-old kid and I was watching wrestling
that was
today,
like, but this is still really fucking cool.
I'd be really confused because it's like especially when you watch TNA, they do so many like heel and face turns. It's just like, who am I supposed to like get behind? If I was a little kid, it's like there's no like. I was cheering him this week, but now the guy that
you
want to
talk about?
Is like,
oh, they're Impact Wrestling now.
Oh, they're not called TNA anymore.
Oh, yeah.
This is actually, but hold on a second. This is actually what I was talking about.
Woo,
like,
let me tell you. Go ahead.
It doesn't.
Roker is so disappointed.
I was about to say Roker just lost it, but no, I was about to say this is exactly what I'm talking about. There aren't really heroes and villains for a long time now. Like nobody stays a character at all. For the length of their career,
yeah, they're just right now. It's just assholes and not assholes.
Well,
that's what I mean.
WWE does it a little bit more like the old school way of doing it than TNA does, because TNA's got the bookers that we're used to the WCW style of doing
but
things.
But WWE, like, how many people that are in WWE right now have had the same persona for the entirety
of
their
career?
Most of
them right now for a long,
they
long time.
They don't do it
really
a long time.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's changed a little bit in WWE
because
they're trying to do it.
Younger kids have bigger, longer. Yeah. You know,
okay.
their minds more developed, you know.
Yeah.
Well, so they'll know somebody changes for no fucking reason.
I don't know about the mind being developed, but I do know that it's getting closer to what you were talking about. It's more conducive to the cartoons and for franchise. When you're making action figures, the kids are going to be buying more good guys than they are bad guys. Yeah. So you got to have consistent good guys out there, and they're doing that more often. And they are getting
very few villains.
That's what I was
Yeah.
saying. The thing about it is, what sells is when two heroes... With two faces fight each other.
Yeah,
that's going to be your biggest pop. Because
full circle back to Cena and The Rock.
Because no, but it's not full circle. Because people, here's the thing, they're selling Cena as this new Hogan thing, But everybody people in the stand,
there's a huge backlash.
It's not everybody. It's different little kids. That's the thing, though.
Like girls, they love
yeah, them. What is up with the booing they of Cena? Because I don't even
that didn't
like,
happen to Hogan.
Yeah,
no, it never happened.
It's basically what happens. This when people never. Got tired of how stale is, and when the WWE purchased ECW, they came out with the ECW brand, and they did a lot of the original shows in the old ECW arenas.
Yep.
They didn't do Philly because
they went to Buffalo.
They went to New York. And they did a huge thing with Rob Van Dam, and at the time Rob Van Dam had like every belt in the company.
Yep.
And except for the one that Cena had, I think. Which
remember,
was
he was the TV champion for two years.
They two went to years. New York, which was like a hardcore. Like it was like either Philly and New York or the big ECW towns.
It was Buffalo.
And no, it was.
You sure?
It was because it was New York, dude. Because it was definitely in Manhattan because it was.
Oh yeah, where yeah.
And they booed the shit out of Cena.
Yeah.
And there was
and that's
one
the whole UK wrestle shit.
I remember that. That was in New York. Yeah. But there was one in Philly.
Yeah.
Because I went to that one.
That was the hardcore reunion show or something like that.
I know the main event was Rob Van Dam versus Kurt Angle, and he beat him for the world title.
Yeah.
And then Tommy Dreamer fought a Big Show, who in front of me dwarfed me. Let me tell you something real quick. I sat ringside toning with everybody else. You know how the Philly crowd is.
Yes.
And they don't, you know, everybody's calling him names. If he looked at you, you shut the fuck up. Because dude, when let me tell you something. He came down that aisle and we were like, and he walked past, dude. His shoulder was like right past my forehead. But when he got to the ring, the middle fingers went up, the screaming went back, and at the end of this match, he beat Dreamer so bad, he attempted to leave, he put his leg over the top rope, and I looked at him, I was like, you fucking pussy, and put up the middle finger. He looked dead at me with a grill, and my man next to me tapped me on the shoulder, he goes, Dan, he looking right at you. And I'm talking about the death glare. Yo, my eyes got glossy. I look like Puss in Boots. I was done, son.
Dude, there is no words to describe the experience of seeing the Big Show live and in person. He's something straight out of a comic book. It's just like you see him on TV. You see he's got giant hands and all that shit. He's big, but you just cannot explain seeing him in person. Even from a distance, you can tell, man.
Yeah, that definitely speaks to, you know, what the other thing I was going to say was like, what's it like for people to get, I mean, we're talking about getting into the industry, but how the hell do you even decide you want to be a wrestler nowadays, you know what I mean, as an entertainment thing? My whole thing was with Big Show or anybody else that large, shit, if you got it, you may as well use it. Because somebody wants to make a dollar off of you.
Because if you're like my height,
there ain't that many
shorter
places for you to go, you know, in life when you're 8 feet tall, you know.
The thing about it is like you got to be like a certain height now to even be even noticed as like, you know, professional wrestler.
Because
Vince only wants big people.
That's the old stereotype. It's a little different now, but there's a certain number of spots that Vince will keep on the roster for different prototypes. Like you'll get a Daniel Bryan or a Chris Benoit type. You know, you get a couple of them. You get a couple Rey Mysterio.
Evan Bourne's like, what, 5'8"? He's like my size.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you're asking about how do you get into the industry? It's literally one of two ways only. One, you're some kid that's wanted to do wrestling all your life, and you're one of the 1% of people that actually are good enough to make it through the cycle and actually get noticed by WWE. The other one is you're some sort of physical specimen like the Big Show.
Giant Gigante.
Yeah, basically some dude comes up from the WWE or a trainer will come up to you and say, you know, you should really be a wrestler. And that's what happened with the Big Show. He was a bouncer or something. And they just came up, you ever consider wrestling? All right, yeah, we can give you a lot of money, that sort of thing. They go and you get a trainer. That's about it. It's one of two ways, and it's not easy.
Yeah, I've been hanging around with a lot of guys that do indie wrestling because of the show that I did. And like all those guys, they're hungry, and it's awesome. They all have working, you know, 9-to-5 jobs, but they do it because they want to do it. The guy that was kind of like the main character in the show, this guy Tim Donston, and he's a young guy, but like he does what he does, and he drives from Lancaster to all over the place. Yeah, and it's a different type. I've just personally worked in a lot of different creative communities, and they've got more drive. And I'm such a fucking mark for this shit, but it's like, yeah, it's like really like talking to these dudes. It's just like, yeah, like they have more drive than any professional musician I've ever met, any DJ I've ever worked with, like, they dealt through. I haven't met a single person yet that has, like, a sense of entitlement. You know, because, like, they're going out there and they're busting their asses, but just working with, you know, comedians and musicians and stuff like that for the past 10 years, it's. Just people have really shitty attitudes and egos, like they deserve something, but they're like, you know, like they don't know their spot. Like there's their idea of what their spot is, and that's a term that like a lot of the guys that work in the industry use. Like they know where their spot is in the company.
Right, they play their position.
Yeah, they know that. Yeah, it's like if you went to your job and acted like your 9-to-5 job and acted like you could take liberties with your somebody who has like been to the company longer, you get fired right the fuck away.
Right.
Because the pecking order is established, and a lot of other creative communities, you don't see that, especially the way that it is now with, like, you know, like, we talked about this before, you know, like, with, like, DJs and stuff like that, you don't have to be talented at all, but if you have somebody taking a really nice picture of you, and you're on Facebook all the time,
yep.
You know, you're getting prime spots and crap like that.
Yeah, it's the truth. So, I mean, this is definitely making me feel, like, you know, a bit somber for the old days, not because of any other reason than I haven't watched, you know, wrestling in a long time, but it's also making me think a whole lot about the fact that maybe things like, I don't know. I mean, you guys actually have to answer for me. But things like alternative new types of wrestling that require, you know, big promotion might want, as opposed to big money. Like the next McMahon has to come along to make the next big wave in wrestling, because the only reason that we're talking about it the way that we
McMahon
are.
The next McMahon was Dana White. Really, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's ever going to be anything like that for wrestling.
I got
again.
You. So
I don't know if there's ever. Okay. You know,
there hasn't been a next McMahon in 30 years.
Yeah. Okay. Like I'm thinking, like, okay. What's her name again? Dixie something.
Dixie Carter.
Dixie Carter.
Yeah,
fucking
she tried,
TNA.
But fucking failed. You know.
That's shit.
Ted Turner.
Dixie Carter is behind.
Jim Crockett.
TNA.
Oh, you know, right.
There's
right,
been
yeah, yeah.
There's always been a strong number two, and that's all it's ever been.
I think I see where you're going with the Dana White thing, though. Because with Dana White, I mean, he took a niche sport and activity. I mean, in 91, the only place you could do martial arts was Kim's Karate and Tiger Schulman's.
Right.
And now, like, those places offer Krav Maga classes, for Christ's sakes, you know? And it's I still have VHS tapes of the 1992 UFC from, like, North Carolina. It's either, like, North Carolina or Reno, Nevada, because you could actually die when you did this, you know? And they just did it like it was freaking blood sport. Like, yeah, that guy kind of knows sumo, and that's a little skinny guy in a diaper. Let's make him fight and see what happens. But Dana White was smart because he marketed it and then actually built a legitimate sport. He's not making money off of all these little MMA studios that are on, like, every city and every suburb now. But it's so pervasive.
They're there because of it. Yeah. So maybe the next thing that happened to wrestling, the way that MMA was the next thing that happened to it, is another sport entirely. Like another physical sport.
Well,
in that
I think
kind
what
of way.
Inline skating is going to make a comeback.
No. I think what the problem is, there isn't a real comp anymore. Like, if you buy everything, like, everybody only has. I mean, there's TNA, but it's horrible.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, when I first saw TNA was coming out, like, oh man, this could be the new WCW. Wow, this could
yeah,
be like.
And then we saw it, like, wow.
This I was
really
like, wow,
is
this is really WCW. Fucking bad.
No. When I saw it, I was thinking the same thing, and I was like, oh yeah, the new WCW. And then I watched it and went, yeah, this really is the new WCW.
Now watch TNA. Watch TNA from like 2004 to 2006, and it's awesome.
I heard it was really good.
They got the gunner ring and all that stuff.
Yeah, well, it peaked when Angle was in there and Christian was in there. It was still good. I think it went to shit after Steiner. And then love him to death, but as soon as they got Booker T, like, that's when the product just went down.
Really, it was when the Jarretts lost their control,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Because the Jarretts owned it, and then Dixie Carter bought it.
Yeah, Jeff and Jarrett.
But let me ask you guys this, because this is something that's been bothering me for a while. My favorite aspect of wrestling is tag team wrestling.
Yeah.
And for years, we haven't had, like, I can't tell you who the tag team champions are right now. I can't tell you who, like, the past tag team champions are for the past, like, few years, because it's almost like they just stopped doing it. There are no teams anymore. They just put two fucking dudes together and go, you guys are going to be the champs. Go for it. You know? And I just don't see anymore. Like,
no backs
really,
and trunks.
And what I'm saying is, like, really, I'm talking, since I don't really watch a lot of the indie stuff, I'm mainly talking about, like, WWE or Even that TNA shit.
No, TNA. Motor City Machine Guns are freaking awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, watch them on.
Yeah, TNA actually has, like.
But you know what? They're one of the very few tag teams. That's the. I'm having that same problem.
You know, because, like.
There's no divisions. There's not a lightweight division.
Nope.
There's not a real heavyweight division. Yeah. And tag teams, how can the two guys win the belt 10 times within 3 months?
Yeah.
You know, I'm saying it's kind of ridiculous when the real champs will win it in like January of 85 and losing in like February of 87.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys, you know, they defended.
They don't do promotions like that anymore, man, because they don't, you know, it's all on TV now, so you have to keep switching the belt around to keep people watching.
But you know, but that helps. If you remember the last time, Triple H held on to the world title for
like
was
a
two,
year,
no,
like two
it was like
years.
2 years. I mean, that was great.
I wonder why he held on to the belt for 2 years.
It was really boring. It was really boring.
You know what? Getting back to what you said, that's another reason why I don't watch it, because there's no factions.
Yeah.
There's no legit tag teams, and there's no team to say, yo, these guys is coming up. They might challenge so-and-so, because there is no so-and-so.
Yeah.
Two guys get picked, two guys win, let the two guys get picked, and that's all it is.
I miss that kind of booking, too. You know, watching the build-up to the Survivor Series, I noticed that they're, like, I miss stables. You know, I miss.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Yeah.
You know, Vicky Guerrero has a stable of, like.
She has a stable.
Dolph Ziggler, Christian, Jack Swagger.
But
is Christian in on that now?
Yeah.
Christian's in on that.
Good. Yeah,
Christian's
and it's like good. Like, I want to see, like, you know.
It's a solid stable.
Terry.
She's annoying.
Runnels had her stable.
Very annoying.
The stud bag or whatever in WCW, you know. I was like, just bring that back. Like,
well, there's a symptom of that because there's no managers either. They got rid of managers because they were.
I think they're starting to bring that back with Vicky Guerrero a bit. And as annoying as she is,
it's in the right direction.
Yeah.
I don't know that they're bringing it back because she's weird. The exception that proves the rule. She's the only manager out there right now.
It's weird because TNA is doing what we want WWE to do.
But they're doing it poorly.
But they're just doing it poorly. Like, they have tag teams. They have solid stables and factions, yo. It's crazy.
Yeah.
There's actually villains and fucking heroes and shit. Faces and shit like that. But it's just horrible to fucking watch because the writing
is horrible.
It's incredibly fucking bad, yo. Like, I got off work and went into my break room because we have, like, cable that was on. And, like, fucking Jeff Hardy looks like a fucking bus hit him. because he's like literally like a fucking drug bus hit the shit out
he's absolutely right.
A bus full of acid landed on him. Like, the inside,
he's not lying, dog. He's not lying.
Liquid dude from RoboCop. Like, it's fucked up. He looks like shit. He looks like Ric Flair looks now. It's bad.
Oh, damn!
It's bad. Like, you know what it is?
Say words.
You look just like me. It's crazy. I'm not even trying to, like, be funny, but it looked like drugs fucked his face up. Like, it's that's why he has also all that fucking extra facial hair and shit. But, like,
he does look like shit.
He looks like shit, dude.
Yo, and
he has a thing now where he calls his fans his creatures.
Oh.
Fuck off, dude.
It's not 1997 just, anymore.
Thank you, dude.
Like, I really, you know, I feel bad for, and in a way I don't, for Sting. Because he really fucked up a golden chance to come to WWE finally.
And it was crazy. Because that whole fucking build up with the fucking
mystery blah,
Johnny Cashaw and the fucking cabin, that was going to be Sting.
We don't know that, but it was a lot of speculation.
There was a lot of speculation and shit, and then they ironed. It was supposed to be Sting, and then he said no, and then they had Taker walk out of it because it made no fucking sense.
Yeah.
It was all just built up to have the person we already fucking know is going to wrestle walk out of a fucking door. Yeah. Oh, it's the Undertaker. Thank you. Like, it wasn't like fucking how Y2J was. Yeah. It wasn't like that. That was fucking awesome.
That was
the Attitude Era for me, man. Attitude Era, best shit ever, was this fucking ridiculous ass long, like, half a year fucking countdown.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the fuck is this? This is dumb.
Well,
it even got to the point. It got to the point where it pissed you off. And then you're watching SmackDown.
You're watching SmackDown and you go,
oh shit, it's 10 seconds left. What's going to happen? And then Chris Jericho walks out and I fucking scream like a little fucking girl because Chris Jericho's in the WWF. I'm like, thank you.
He's one, you know, you're talking earlier about
the man.
How, like, people have not changed their character, but they, you know, for a long time. He's one guy, I always liked him because, like, his character's always had slight tweaks to it, but he's always been true to what that character is. And like it's just like the best villains. Like Magneto, for example, is a principled villain, or sometimes he's a hero, depending on whatever side, like the way the politics fall. But he's always Magneto. Just like right. Chris Jericho is always the same type of character.
Great analogy.
But sometimes the crowd's against him, where a lot of these new guys, like earlier, like you're like, you know, asked about like how they develop their characters, they haven't gotten that point yet. Like John Morrison was a guy, great heel, has no personality as a babyface.
None.
No personality as a babyface. And it's like, because there's a
he is incredibly boring right now.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you're with the imagine. All
right, someone else who went from heel to face, and I'm not buying it, and I think it's fucking creepy when I see him smiling, it's fucking Sheamus.
Yeah,
he needs to be a heel. Forever.
Oh yeah, Sheamus is a good guy.
Forever, and I know El Frog doesn't think so, but he needs to be a heel forever.
Let me tweak that a little bit. Sheamus will be the perfect.
You say you're gonna tweak that?
Tweak that a little bit. That comment
is that what's trending right? I'm sorry. I'm just
goddamn
boots to asses, everybody. Boots to asses. No man, Sheamus would make the perfect tweener, just like Steve Austin.
Okay,
he wouldn't have to done anything different than what he was doing when he was a heel.
Cool. Okay, I feel you.
Anything
he can
different.
Do that. He can do that. He can absolutely. Be all about himself, right?
Exactly.
Good or bad, be about himself. Stop smiling.
But it doesn't exactly. That's the
Stop
problem.
Stop fucking smiling. But you're scary.
It's that corny mentality that McMahon's got. He's got to make it so it's obvious to the kids who the good guys are and who the bad guys are. You can't have a Steve Austin
in
this
environment.
When they
got this motherfucker at when they got him at Make-A-Wish fucking events and shit.
That shit's scary.
I'm like, wow, this is fucking
like,
creepy.
Yeah. These kids are going to die.
He is going to cook and eat every last one of you little motherfuckers.
I hope you
wish.
If I was a little kid with a bicycle
kicked.
That's what I meant. Like, if I was a kid with like terminal cancer and I saw Sheamus walk in, I'd be like, oh, you're my Make-A-Wish guy? Let me get a list of everyone who's wronged me in the 8 years of my life, and I want you to hit them with a metal pipe.
Because like, I want you to find out who invented cancer and fucking beat his ass.
Dude, I was watching Survivor Series with a friend of mine, and he doesn't watch wrestling, and he was like, who the hell is this dude? It was Sheamus. I was like, it was Sheamus. He was like, he is the brightest thing on the screen right now.
That dude is
He is so pale. He's frightening.
The heat miser.
He's
the heat miser.
Shit.
He is a mini yeti.
The demonic Ronald McDonald.
He's like a mini yeti.
He's the heat miser.
A mini one. Frightening. Cody Rhodes is a beast.
Oh, that guy's awesome.
Beastly.
He right now, besides like CM Punk and of course The Rock. Cody Rhodes. I mean, just for the fact that he and I both share the same initials, I don't care. He is awesome. I like him. He was my tag team
and
partner.
And my man Zig Zag, dog.
Yeah, all right, yeah. Dolph Ziggler, Cody Rhodes.
Great,
that's shit. But definitely Cody Rhodes. I'm so glad that he's finally getting some recognition. I love that he's wearing the old school, fucking Intercontinental title belt. Oh, I fucking love it. Keep it going.
I wish I had recorded the times that I was in this store telling you how fucking awesome these dudes were. And you're like, nah, I don't think I'm going to get in this shit. I don't like Cena very much.
Yeah, I don't like Cena.
Yeah, and so, that's what kept you out of it. But there was other good shit going on.
Yeah,
well, they've been good for a long-ass time.
Yeah, like, I watch, and it's not like I hate it. I'm just waiting for something to really hit me, you know? And finally has a bit.
It's all about how awesome Dolph Ziggler is.
Can I ask you guys another question just to bring it back? Because you know the best part of being in, like, you know, part of the podcast for the wrestling episodes is I know about every fourth word you guys are saying. It's great. It's great. Like, no, it's a lot of fun. I'm like,
he said the word
I'm like,
it.
Tweener? I don't know what the fuck that means. But word. I pick it up in context. But does the absence of solid tag teams and things like somebody like Sheamus being used as a hero when they want to use him as a hero, does that have to do with people not really being capable of acting well enough so that they have to, like in a tag team setting,
probably.
Two guys, one of them's going to be really good, the other one's going to be, you know, physically his match and that's about it, or, you know, a guy that's a really good villain that they need to promote more has to become a hero so they can promote him more, but he can't act it well enough, so they've just got to manipulate him the way that they do and promote him the way that they do. Do you think that it has to do with, you know, pushing people to the points that they, you know what I mean? Like, using them the way they, regardless of what their actual capability is.
You know? I think the situation with the tag team is another symptom of the whole, you got to be yourself now in this environment. And it's tough to be a unique version of yourself if you've got to be paired off with somebody else. Because they've got the traditional tag teams that you remember, you know, like Nikolai Volkov and the Iron Sheik, or you got the Killer Bees or something. They're the
Midnight Express.
Midnight Express.
All right, so that's the end of the old school tag teams where they would just throw two dudes together and they would call them something. But then there was a long period of time where it was the Wrestling Bees or the
Road Warriors.
Yeah, right. You'd match them together because they were something.
Bushwhackers.
Exactly, and that was a symptom of the time that where they had the gimmicks. So that's when you had your major tag teams. When you couldn't get one dude over because he was shit on the mic, you'd get them both together and you got something made.
The Rockers! Oh, shit.
So Marty Jannetty was... Yeah, exactly.
So what, they made an entire, like, subdivision in the wrestling world based on two guys sell just as good as the one of the two guys.
But you work matches differently, too. When, like, tag team wrestling is a different psychology to the ring and how they work the matches. And, like, you don't... I think... What kind of killed it was when you had the Supremes, like, DX was a great tag team. They were awesome together. They had great matches with the Legion of Doom, you know, like, with all the other tags. They had great tags, and the Attitude Era was just starting up, and then they had really great factions, like Nation of Domination. Great, like, D'Lo Brown and Mark Henry were an awesome tag team. And then it kind of fell apart from there, because then they started just, like, everybody was getting over, whether you were heel or face. It kind of changed everything, and then we had a good 10 years of just Kane and The Undertaker holding the tag team belts every once in a while. And
that was kind of cool.
It was kind of cool, but I mean...
It was definitely cool the first time it happened, and right away when it first happened.
First, second, third, fourth, fifth.
But don't they
do that
like every once in a while and just get together to be a tag team? Just
That's different than a tag team. That's two very specific things. That's what The Rock and Cena are doing right now. That's not a tag team, that's a team up. But like the Mega Powers, that's taking two dudes that either you don't have enough for them to do together, or they're super high power in the industry, and you got to.
Speaking of the Mega Powers, did anyone else, whenever they shook hands, you feel the earth just like quake a little bit? Because you know, like when they would go to shake hands, it was like electrical powers, like you know, they shake hands, and it's like. Like the heavens opened up and shit, and volcanoes fucking started erupting. Fantastic! I missed that.
Elizabeth's breast just got a little bit bigger whenever that shit
came out. I didn't notice that.
But you know what? Though back in the day, we had a lot of teams put together, and it was usually two guys who if they were put together, had good teamwork, had good chemistry. But if you put them in singles matches, they were garbage.
And I like that. Put them over as a tag team, and it made whoever they're wrestling as a singles wrestler
right
even better too.
But it gave the federation and division, it gave it depth, because you had two guys who were superstars, and then you had the Rockers. There was different coronations of the Midnight Express, but they were all
Rock
good wrestlers.
Roll Express.
Rock and Roll Express, the Fantastics.
Freebirds,
but they were great.
Demolition.
I'll give you tag team, which still to me is one of the greatest tag teams of all time. And none of them had good mic skills. And I already mentioned one of them before. It's the world's greatest tag team.
Yep.
Charlie Haas, yep. Shelton Benjamin, bad on the mic. Good matches individually, great matches together. But just no mic skills. And that's what killed them. That's what killed them.
When they first came out, they were Angle's homies, right?
Yeah, there was protégés. I was going to say another team in that era, Dudley Boys, and that was
Dudley
exactly
Boys,
how they sold them. Like
they were incredible.
The Dudley Boys were too good.
Like when they started, they were more of like a faction, like a family type of band. Like,
oh yeah.
They started out as a family, but the main two were Bubba Ray and Devon.
At the very beginning, they brought them in later on.
No. I understand that, but when they became a big faction, they were the famous ones.
Big Dick
Dudley. Spike was a jobber. And then you had Big Dick, who was just coming in choking people. You know what I mean? They were the main two wrestlers.
They were the most successful. Because I was going to those shows like way back when I was in high school. And I remember because Dudleys were originally like the Hansons from Slapshot.
Right.
And, yeah. That was the gimmick.
That's why they had the glasses.
Yeah, that's why they wore the glasses. But it wasn't until like Bubba was around.
What a terrible gimmick.
Yeah, and then when Pulp Fiction came out, that's when D-Von showed up because he was kind of like...
Marcellus Wallace.
Marcellus Wallace. Oh. And he was, because they were a comedy, the Dudleys were like a comedy faction.
Yeah.
And then he was just like, side why guy you guys Dudley. Like fucking around? Like, and he was like the brother from another mother. And he like told him, and he like beat the shit out of all the brothers except Bubba. He was the only one that was tough. And then that's when they became like the Dudley boys. Everybody like, I love like, I just what I miss about tag team wrestling is that it's such a good aspect to the storytelling, where it's like you have these guys that are just good at what they do working together.
Right.
Public
and
enemy.
And then like when you have them do it, it puts over singles wrestlers so great when like you have like. You know, it's like Marty Jannetty versus the Barbarian. The Barbarian just kicks the shit out of Marty Jannetty. You know,
you got the Public Enemy was awesome.
Oh, Jesus. I totally forgot about that.
Who do we got now that really goes up against them? Air Boom.
Air Boom and
fuck
awesome.
Fuck you, creative.
Excuse me. I actually like those guys. But
when they said creative, you mean people on Twitter, yes. Which is having a huge.
Yeah.
It's having a huge effect on this wrestling day, which
the
is
vote
good
for
and
the.
Bad.
Vote you know, for the name. You don't leave it up to regular fucking people.
You know what name almost won, and yeah. It was like so much better. The Altitude Era.
I like that.
Yeah, I'm not joking. I actually like that. The Altitude Era.
I'll take that over Air Boom.
Have you guys seen the video? There's an awesome video of Evan Bourne when he was still Matt Sydal wrestling Human Tornado. Great indie wrestler, and this whole thing is that he's like supposed to be like Rudy Ray Moore, like that's his gimmick.
The Human Tornado. No.
He's awesome.
Oh no!
His whole
soup eating motherfucker.
His whole gimmick is that he everybody like someone will invariably go to punch him in the dick, and apparently his Johnson's so big it hurts their arm when they hit it. So he just no sells every nut shot, like whatever. He just stands there. But he has a match. He's wrestling Evan Bourne.
I can't move.
It's the best thing. Everybody listen to this. Write in. Go to YouTube and just do like Human Tornado versus Matt Sydal, which was Evan Bourne. Now. And they're wrestling in a gym, and like they wrestle out. They spill out into the audience, and out of nowhere, somebody just throws him a basketball, and he dunks on Evan Bourne, and like it turns into a Hurricane Rana. It's the awesomest thing. Like he just dunks on Matt Sydal, and then like. Hangs on the rim that just drops down at Evan Bourne's head and just Hurricane Rana's him.
Wow.
Oh,
shit.
That
is a good spot. That is a multiple talented brother right there.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
He was part of like, he was on, because I remember he's in Nacho Libre, like the dude that played him. Like he's one of the wrestlers that he fights, and then he was on like SmackDown a couple times as a weird jobber. Yeah, but like that dude, like that's what like, all the fun stuff, like all like the characters that like are almost nostalgic. You see that in the indies now. Like I was at Chikara, and there's all these little kids in South Philly looking at these people and crazy. Like you can definitely tell who the good guy is and who the bad guy is. These kids are like looking at their superheroes flying in and out of the ring, and that's such an awesome, like it's such an awesome spectacle to see that.
That's how it is in Mexico, man. Yeah. That's how it is exactly in Mexico.
But you know what? You still got me stuck on a slam dunk to a Hurricane Rana, dog. I just keep picturing dunk, flip, like.
Okay, I'm going to pull out my phone. It's like I said, we're doing a podcast, but I got to, like, everybody go on YouTube and look it up right now. It's one of the best spots you'll ever see. I'm Danny, I'm pulling this up on my phone right now so you can watch this. Like,
so what? the whole
tag team situation, it just that you were saying here, the tag team used to allow one wrestler or sometimes two of them to be able to get over and stay in the company because there was only so many dudes out there that could ever wrestle. Now, the other thing that they used to do was you'd pair you with a manager. They would bring managers in if you were a good wrestler or you had a good gimmick or something, but you just couldn't talk on the mic.
Right, and your manager would do that for you.
Exactly. All so right. It's why they're going? 100% because of money. Because right. You got to pay a manager.
I was about to say, and it's the same with the tag team.
Exactly.
You got to pay the
second
guy.
You're expected to be on the mic. You got to be good athletically. You got to have a stature sort of thing, and you got to have a gimmick. You got to do the whole thing because you only got a certain amount of time. They'll bring the next guy in who might be able to do that and just replace you.
Do you feel like they're more? I mean, do you guys feel like there are more, wrestlers with, or excuse me, less wrestlers with names now than there were back in the day at any given time in the league? Like say for WWE, you know what I mean, for example, you know what I mean? Like, are there less guys now? Because it seems like there's less names going around. You know, when I was a kid, it felt like I could reel off,
you know, 15, 20 names any given day. You know what I mean? Now I hear five. And that pretty much is it. Everybody else is just kind of placeholders.
Well, there's a main event scene that's probably about six dudes total.
You know? So it is small.
It's small in the main event sort of thing. But then there you got the United States and the Intercontinental tier, yeah, which is a few more that's bigger names.
I'm glad you brought that. That's nothing I want to talk about. Now, nowadays, you know, wrestlers are not as big as they were. I'm talking just size-wise.
Not physically,
they're
not
as big?
Yeah,
physically. Not as big as they were in like the...
Oh, because they're not all juicy.
Yeah, you know, they got that whole wellness program thing, you know.
And they don't have to be giants of nature either anymore.
Yeah. Huh. So, to me, it's like people who are world champions now would be intercontinental champions.
Huh.
Like 15, 20 years ago.
There was no place for Shawn Michaels back then.
Say again?
No place for like a Shawn Michaels back in the day, way back in the day.
Way, way back as a champion, no. No. And
he was like the first like real little dude to win that, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So I mean, like, really, like, what's? I guess now the difference between like being the world champ or the WWE champ, which there should only be one. Anyway, there should really only be one, as far as I'm concerned. Just make fucking one, like Highlander.
Which they may still do.
Well, that'd be nice. And then you have the Intercontinental Champion and the U.S. Champion. So now, like. I know, like, before it was a weight class thing. Like, you know, the big guys are the ones that would be world champ or heavyweight champ. And then it's like, you know, the smaller guys would be IC champ or the U.S. champ. Nowadays, I guess, would it be, like, that would mean more on the lines of like, a popularity thing?
Well, the reason they had the whole difference between a world championship and, like, the second tier, the Intercontinental U.S. or whatever, there's a reason for that. Back when they had... territories, mm-hmm. You know, you had this, you know, the Northwest or you had the Northeast or whatever. They had a territory, and you had to ship people to whatever show that you were going to. You could do more shows if you didn't send your world champion to every single back neck woods place. So what they would do, instead of sending the world champion, they would send the Intercontinental or the U.S. or the TV champion out to the smaller house shows, mm-hmm. And that would be your main event show. And then what would eventually happen every single time back in the old school days was the Intercontinental champ was like the best friend of the world champion. And then he'd get his ass beat by whoever was the up-and-coming contender, the bad guy. And then, you know, the world champion would rush to his defense, and he would fight whoever was beating up on the Intercontinental champ. That was the whole deal they would always do.
That's actually why, you know, earlier, Danny, you mentioned that, like, people don't hold belts as long as they used to because they don't have to anymore. Because everybody sees them every week. But when they were doing the territories and they toured, even like when we were younger, they still did local promos for house shows. I remember like Sid Vicious would talk about being down in Philly and like going to Pat's Cheesesteaks, and if you come down Saturday, you're gonna watch him like kick the crap out of Shawn Michaels or something like that. But
put on the team jersey of whatever the team was.
Yeah, like they would hold on to the belts way longer because of that, because they had to constantly tour and it drew money because they depended more on people showing up to the live events. Whereas now it's all in merchandising from the TV shows. And that's weird because the first time I ever saw wrestling live was in at a place my parents had a timeshare at in the Poconos, and it was where they taped all the Monday Night Raws. But apparently consecutively, and I didn't know that, like consecutively in a row, I remember, and it was when Steve Austin was just like tweaking, like he just became Stone Cold, and I remember seeing his like very first Tron, like because he was still like, oh, he's still the guy that comes out with $1 Million Man, but he was
Ringmaster,
yeah. And I remember like, wait, this isn't done. Wait, I have to sit here for another 3 hours. Wait, they're coming. Like they just fought, and now they're coming out again. And like I was so confused. And then my friend's like, yeah, like they taped them all in a row here, and it was exhausting.
Wow.
Because if you remember the roster from like 1993, 1994, where you had like Damian Demento and shit like that. God bless him, but Duke Drosy, come on, man.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, there's nothing wrong with the dumpster.
I always like when the companies abort storylines. Like,
oh yeah, like best. Totally cut it off. Yeah. Like
the anonymous Raw general manager will forever remain anonymous.
Yep. Like I was like, oh,
and the paper like said it was. I was like, oh, next, I'll the next one. You know?
Yeah, like that is that.
The exactly podium just left.
Yep. Now it's just a joke. CM Punk, I think, referenced it one time. Mm-hmm. Totally fourth wall breaking. Loved it.
I remember I had an issue of WWF magazine, and it had like all these photos of like this is what's going on, and they would make these like photo
shoots as if like these people were these characters in real life. And there was one where it was like Jeff Jarrett posing for photos with his horse or whatever. And then the next couple photo, and then it was like it was Jeff Jarrett, and then it was like Owen Hart. And like they're getting into arguments, like, oh, the photographer accidentally took all these pictures of them having a fight in the photography studio. But then this was the one. I hope
Why
Duke Josie listens
I'm not
to this.
Call the cops.
I was like, I hope Duke Josie listens to this because I was a huge fan of his, because I remember like the last set of photos was like.
I'm pretty
like,
sure he's not.
Oh man, yeah. Like Duke Josie was like taking they're taking photos of him with trash can, but then like the last set of photos is him dressed like a fancy gentleman, and I like the one quote like, caption underneath was like. Is this a dark side to Duke Josie? Like, and I was like, oh man, he's going to get all rich and fancy. And then they never did anything with that, and I was really disappointed.
Oh my God. I miss the old school promos, and they brought back it a little bit, but every so often they'll do it. But the old school promos, before they bring in a wrestler and introduce him as an actual wrestler, fucking the last one they did was Alberto Del Rio. They did weeks and weeks and weeks of building him up.
You tell me about that. Yeah.
Oh my God, it was great because you had a reason to care about the dude. Right. But they only do that if they know the dude's an investment. They know they did it for Sin Cara. They did it for people that they think is going to be a real investment.
Because back in the day, like I'll give you one, and like my brother and I, this is like this is a guy we still talk about this dude to this day. No, it's not Zeus. No, he had his whole promo thing, and that was
that's
that movie.
Creepy that you're doing a Debo.
Hold it, right you ain't nothing, and Beefcake, you less than nothing.
Hogan,
going to destroy you.
When he would do like the smile scream. I'd be like, why are you happy to be here?
the one guy, and like my brother and I always to this day we talk about this shit. Was a guy from the Glades.
No, not here in the Glades. You gotta learn how to get along. Like, what I'm gonna do to you guys in WWF? I'ma skin you alive.
The skin, and he's like chewing tobacco and spitting and shit.
Was that Barry Windham? Who was that?
Nah, that was
not Barry Windham.
Steve Kern.
Steve Kern, that's who it was. Yeah,
he was a doink. He was an evil doink at one point.
Yeah.
Dude, he was.
It was a great promo.
I think I've maybe seen one match of his.
He was chewing tobacco in people's eyes after the match.
You guys remember the goon?
Yeah.
The hockey dude, brief
Goon was a guy, and he was his and then how does he get away with this as his finisher? Because he would throw them outside the ring, prop them up, and then just body check them into the turnbuckle. I'm like, wait, like you can't just like logistically
that's
all the action. Yeah, like
yeah. That's no different than the Berserker, his finishing move. He would body press them out of the ring and just let them get counted out. That was fucking badass.
Yeah.
But Berserker wasn't nothing but a fake Bruiser Brody, dude.
Yeah, I couldn't do
too much of him, dog.
That's true. Well, he's John Nord. He did a bunch of gimmicks that all were pretty much Bruiser Brody anyway.
I just miss Buff Bagwell.
Buff Bagwell.
Nobody misses Buff Bagwell.
Yo, no, I do. I never
Eyeliner goatee.
It was his neck, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He injured it during a match. But Buff, the thing I missed the most is he would pick you up and slam you and then go to your head, look like he about to pick you up and then look at the camera and then pose. Like he always knew what a camera was. I'm like, this dude is a showman, and I'm watching you, dog.
You know what? I want to play N64 WCW versus NWO to see if they put that in there.
Because
I remember
the
they put Jericho's
ever.
In there where he would the weak pin would just stand there and flex.
Come on, baby! Yeah.
But like I miss those types of heels, like the promos. That it was always like Cody Rhodes is like the only person that does it now, or when he was doing the dashing thing, where I love it when heels feel like they need to teach people stuff. Like Hunter Hearst Helmsley used to always teach us about like how to use a proper silverware. Like he interrupted an episode and ate dinner in the ring. Like, oh my, it's such a great
it
way
was
to get
so
eat.
Good.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt.
Like, I don't like, you know, like if a guy's like, oh, I'm just going to get heat by beating up the guy that you like. Like, that bores the shit.
That's why I like people like Dolph Ziggler, dude. Yeah. If you pay attention to his ring performance, like, if he gets picked up by a big dude, he starts doing the classic handshakes. And
he's a very, very good heel. And that's a, to me, he's very reminiscent of some of the old
school. He is like Kurt hitting Eddie Guerrero. Like, just the way, like, the way he plays, like, the heels, and, like, he's like, I'm going to get away with everything. Like, he's, like, classic funny, like, Ric Flair, but, like, the whole Rick Rude, whole tap in the forehead thing, like, I got you, like, he's awesome, dude.
Can the hate use you all as a resource for a moment?
Yeah.
There is, I keep telling y'all, it's so much fun doing these episodes and only knowing, like, every fourth reference. If I was going to go around this ring and ask each of you for one match that I should YouTube right now, and listen to me first, that it make me love wrestling all over again.
Yeah.
Now, hold on. Now, this is important because this could be for a long-time wrestling fan. It could be for your grandpa that watched it when he was a kid. It could be for your son. It could be for anybody. But if I was gonna go around and ask each of you in turn one match, I gotta use
any right time era,
let me
love wrestling.
Let me attempt to answer that with a question to everyone else. Who else is going to see Savage versus Steamboat WrestleMania?
For sure? I knew somebody else was going to take that. So
I'm not.
I've been talking about indies the whole time, so I got an indie match that.
I was probably going to use the indie match you were going to say.
That match took place over in Japan. Okay, hold on. Let's just go around again.
One time.
Yeah.
All right, you want one, I'll give you a few. But the one that stands out to me is there was a big feud between two All Japan stars. It was Toshiaki Kawada and Mitsuharu Misawa, the guy who passed away recently. They fought for years, and every match is a 4- to 5-star match. Yeah. You can pick anyone you want.
Say the names again for the listeners.
All right, last name's Kawada versus Misawa. That's all you got to type in, and you'll find it. He was originally Tiger Mask 2, but he died in the ring a few years ago. I happened to see him here in Philly at our Ring of Honor show.
Word.
Met him, got his autograph and everything, and a year later he died in the ring. It was crazy.
Oh my god! I remember
what happened.
I've seen that. He got slammed a German suplex on his head, mm-hmm. and he just did not get up.
It was a wrap.
But no, that's one.
This one.
Sorry. See, I'm passing the mic. But in case, you know, I got some more for you.
Okay. All right. Colt Cabana versus Beef Wellington.
Wait.
that's a really good match.
No. It's
the names.
Yeah, the names are silly because it's the best. Because it's the best example of comedic storytelling in wrestling. They're probably. Pause.
I love the fact that we have this podcast, Mr. Ryan. Because
son,
Only in the indies. Yeah, only like Colt Cabana is probably one of the top. Colt Cabana. He's CM Punk's like really good friend.
Colt Cabana and
Beef Wellington. Yeah. And the best part it's a half hour long match. It's on YouTube. You don't even realize you've been sitting there watching it for a half hour. It's that fucking good. It's a total comedy match. The only thing I've ever seen match it are the Japanese matches of Ebison, who's like one of the best comedic wrestlers. But they do, and it's a really athletic contest. But they're telling this story. It's the best example of like storytelling because they're both trying to one up each other as the best funny wrestler. And Colt Cabana is a huge dude. Like he's built. Like a 1950s wrestler. He's a big guy. And then Beef Wellington just is like this punk looking kid from Canada. And they just do all these spots that you can kind of tell like they talk some out, but then some are just completely improvised because the crowd just inexplicably starts singing Shot Through the Heart. You know, Shot Through the Heart. Are you serious? And just in the beginning, and they're just like, all right, let's just go with this. And they go for a whole half an hour back and forth. There's great technical wrestling. And I'm not going to spoil it for you. Everybody go out and YouTube it right now because the ending is one of the best finishers ever. It's not even like they don't even finish it as a wrestling match. That's how ridiculous it is. If you're a fan of 80s movies, that's how they finish the match. And it's and like that's why, yeah, it's Colt Cabana was signed by the WWE and given the shittiest gimmick ever by Joey Style. I asked him about it, and he coined the phrase. He said, "They gave me the gimmick of Jewy McJewerson." Yeah, he was given the character of Scotty Goldman, a Jewish kid who happened to wrestle. And he's very vocal about how unhappy. But like at Survivor Series, people started chanting his name because CM Punk puts him over, and he's probably the top comedic wrestler right now.
But well, he's a funny dude in general. He's also a stand-up comic. Yeah. He does like a web series called Creative Has Nothing For You, yeah. Something like that, I think.
You
can YouTube. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Mike Broker.
Rogue Deasy.
CM Punk versus Samoa Joe.
Oh, that's a good series.
CZW. Ring of Honor. Yeah. Watch it. The best technical wrestling I have probably ever seen in my entire life.
So let's say better than if I were to watch a Benoit Guerrero match.
It's like that.
Wow.
It's like that.
That's a great choice.
Wow. I'll be watching that.
CM and who?
CM Punk and Samoa Joe.
Samoa Joe. Okay.
All right. El
Frog. Not a particular match.
Isn't he like The Rock's cousin? Is Vince hates him?
A particular match or just any of their matches?
Any of them.
Any of them.
He looks like the Mythboss from like Final Fight.
He really does.
Like he's just... He should just be standing in the middle of the street next to some trash cans and like a diamond.
And like a turkey.
Yeah.
A fully cooked turkey under a trash can.
Also, he comes out the Feral Monk too, which is like fucking badass.
Samoa Joe is the best wrestler with the worst name ever.
Ever.
All time.
All time.
What's your match, El
Frog? I don't know which one was the best of them. What
Not
I would
the best.
Say...
The one to make somebody love wrestling.
What I would have said is any of the old TLC matches from the early 2000s with the Christian and Edge, the Dudley Boys, Kane and whoever at the time, and the Hardy Boys. I would say that, but I don't know which was the best of those. So I'd say the one that got me back into wrestling.
I'd say what the best one of those is.
Okay.
The first one.
The first one? Yeah, but man, they kept
the
improving
TLC,
them.
That's the thing. They kept improving them.
They kept improving them.
The first TLC.
And it was hard to improve on that first
one. Fucking concerto and shit.
The first one was great because of what happened afterwards. The next night when Edge and Christian came out, and they just totally went from like huge baby faces to the most obnoxious heels. I think the most obnoxious heels of the Attitude Era because it was just like, what the fuck? It was.
They were sort of like that routine that you were saying where they stop everything so that they can teach you something. They would come in the middle of the ring with these giant hats and glasses and says, "All right, guys, I know you've been waiting for this. So here's, you get 5 seconds. It's only 5 seconds and you can take pictures of us. All right, ready? Go." And they start posing in the most ridiculous poses ever. And they go, "All right, stop. No more posing."
Did any of you guys play the last WWE game?
No.
Okay, there's a story mode and you can play as Christian. Did you play Christian story mode?
Did I?
But did you make him friends with Edge or did you like...
Oh, friends. Friends. So, oh, yeah.
Like
yeah.
Because, like, it's... And it was the most... Whoever wrote it and, like, they did all the voice acting, too.
Yeah.
They,
fantastic.
If I played both scenarios where you can just feud with Edge and it's just like you're watching it on TV.
Yeah.
But if you become friends with him, they become self-aware that their character's in a video game. It's the weirdest fucking storyline. They look out at the TV like, "Oh, we're in a video game," and then they become the Attitude Era versions of themselves. What? And they come out in the old outfits and they self-appoint themselves the general managers of Raw, and they have crazy. They're like next Monday is Crazy Hat Day, and every character model has the fucking cowboy hats on them. And it ends up like they have to build a time machine. Like it's what? Like. And yeah, I was like, I really thought I was like, I smoke weed and like.
let me explain to you that I was smoking weed when I was playing this game, and I was like, is this happening? I'm pretty fucked up.
That's what, yeah. Like you walk in and he's wearing like a yellow.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck? Like, yeah.
Bro, just to bring it back to your match real quick. If there was one that I was gonna YouTube. Or if there was for our listeners, what would they YouTube for your match?
Mankind versus The Undertaker, Hell in the Cell. That's the thing that got me back into wrestling.
There you go.
Holy
there you go. Classic. Have you ever seen that?
It has been spoken.
It's stretched out of the realm of wrestling into what the fuck just happened, and then what the fuck just happened there, and then is that dude fucking alive?
Is that his tooth?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
In his fucking nose. It went up through his fucking palate, didn't it?
They,
it did, right?
They thought he was smiling. That? He was just trying to find his tooth in his mouth.
Yeah.
Like, he's smiling. I don't want to be smiling.
They landed on thumbtacks from like two stories up. Yeah, and it's just ridiculous. I don't want to even describe it. Just YouTube this shit. It's insane.
You gotta see it.
Captain. Last one. Yours?
Yeah, he said mine.
Oh.
Yeah, man.
Why did you like it so much?
Savage was in it. Yeah. No, it was just a great match. It stole the show. Like, you know, like I've watched WrestleMania 3 a bunch of times. And honestly, like, you know, the big spectacle was the Andre Hogan thing. Blah, 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 blah. Stiff match. But.
Didn't even come close.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't.
But.
Near falls. It's the best example of near falls. Unless. Like, if you're a wrestling fan, you know why it's so exciting. But
motherfuckers,
you can't describe it until you see it.
Yeah.
It's so many times where you think a dude got pinned and you think the match is over. That's just when the match is getting started.
That was the best near falls.
Oh, yeah. Like, all the, you know what I mean? That's, oh, man.
And you forget about, by the end of the match, you forget about who you were cheering. Macho Man's a bad guy. He did some fucked up shit to Ricky Steamboat, and you're supposed to hate him. By the end of the match, you just don't care. You're just enjoying
it. Best near falls since Rock Austin.
People were exhausted after that match. I'm like, I didn't get to see it close circuit television. That's what it was at the time. I didn't get to see it like that. I listened to that match on the fucking radio. Shut up. I'm showing my age. But that stole the show. People were fucking exhausted by the time. It got time for the Hogan Andre match.
Still considered one of the best matches of all time.
All right, I'm going to bring this down a little bit. A little serious. For a second, little somber note. So we're going to end this off. I want to ask everyone because at the time that this happened, we were like not doing the show, and I didn't get a chance to say anything about this. But I want to ask everyone, what was their reaction when you know you got the news that Randy Macho Man Savage had passed? Of course, I'll start off for me. I work late. I woke up really late, and I didn't, you know, find out when everyone else found out. I woke up to my cell phone going off with a whole bunch of texts saying, "Hey, are you okay? You all right? You know, did you hear the news? You okay? Blah 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 blah." Like, what the fuck is going on? So, I go through all these texts. I'm talking like 10, 15 texts I get. I go to the first one, and it's my friend Mike Lee, and he said, "Yo, Macho Man died," and I was just like, you know what you do when you find out some horrible fucking news. You go to one source that you know will tell you the truth. I go to my wall on Facebook. You know, that's where you find out everything. I went like, you know, that's when you know it's true. You know, when you go on your Facebook to go see. So I went on my Facebook and I saw everyone go, "Rest in peace, Macho Man, rest in peace." And I was just like, oh my God. You know what I mean? And for those who don't know me, Macho Man Randy Savage is my favorite, him and The Rock. But Macho Man was like my first favorite. There's nothing better as far as I'm concerned. He's what made me a wrestling fan. And when I heard the news, and then when I went online and I saw about it, like I sat back for a second, I thought back to all that stuff, and then I just cried like a baby. I don't know the guy, and he doesn't know me, but I felt like a deep, deep sadness. I got calls from my parents. You know, calling me up, my dad, you know, calling me up, my mom calling me, saying like, "You heard the news? You know, we thought about you. You know, you okay?" Like my brother calling me up and whatnot. I was like, I felt that kind of love because I knew that you know I love that guy, and I just sat there and cried. I was just like, I was really bad. I was driving into work that day, and the whole ride in, it's a 20-minute drive to work. I was just listening to Pomp and Circumstance the entire time, like his theme song the whole way down, and just I'm driving and crying, you know, before I get into work. It just, you know, that was like family dying, you know. But like, I don't know how big of an influence or what he is on you guys, but I want to know what did you guys think, like what was your reaction?
You know what, I'm gonna start this off with, I guess when I got the news, I try not to believe it, because for me I always had a hope that he would come back some way somehow to make an appearance. You know what I mean? And you know, we still seeing Hogan. We still seeing Flair. We still seeing Sting.
Piper.
I'm like, Piper. I'm like, dog, I'll pay to see the Macho Man again. Yeah. Even if he get on the mic and just say a little something.
Yeah.
So we all had that hope. So when, you know, it seemed like he had left the drugs and alcohol away, and he just recently had remarried.
Right.
You know, I felt like he was going to be all right. And next thing you know, he was just gone. So I felt, you know, you watched him all these years. You come accustomed to him. So, you know, you feel some kind of way towards him. So when he dies, I was like, damn, it's, you know, it's gone too soon. You just brainstorming, man. Yeah. I mean, I was like, I guess I ain't never gonna see him at those shows, take no pictures, meet him at a Comic Con, or get an autograph or nothing. It's too late.
I feel like one thing that we've been robbed of is not seeing him do an acceptance speech at the WWE.
Oh my God!
Word thing, and that really upsets me.
It's funny because the beef was squashed, and it was going to happen. It was in the works.
Like I tell you, I was happy as shit when I saw the WWE All Stars promo that he was doing, and I was like, yes, he's back, and dude, I was so fucking happy, you know. And then a couple months later, hold on,
a couple weeks later,
game came out this year.
Yeah.
I don't know, but that just just broke my fucking heart.
I mean, I was at work, and one of my bosses comes down and. He tells me, and I'm thinking he's fucking with me. I was like, get the fuck out of my face. Like, don't say shit like that, you know.
I fucked you up.
You know, but no, he was like, no, man, no, really, like, Savage is gone. And I was like, how? He doesn't die. He's Macho Man Randy Savage. What are you? And it was the day before the supposed rapture, remember? Like, you know. It was the day before the supposed rapture, and when it didn't happen, I was like Macho Man Randy Savage, elbow dropped God back into heaven. Like, he elbow dropped him upwards. Like, it was...
Yeah, where do you think you're going?
Those Randy Savage memes, the ones with Randy Savage, like, you know...
Where is Randy Savage?
He had just become an icon at this point.
Right, exactly.
And it really didn't hit me. I'm like, man, they got to do something on Raw. You know, and I was watching Raw, and I was like, "Are you fucking serious? Are you serious?" Me and Frog are like, "I'm done. I'm done."
And wait, then, are you talking about like at the beginning when they just showed his picture with like da 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 da?
Yeah.
But I mean, they sort of made up for it because I was really pissed.
And I was saying like, and then at like 10:30,
they cut
to the front. I'm like, here it comes.
Mm-hmm.
Here it comes. And I saw a look on their face because Jerry was fucked up.
Yeah.
Jerry was like, I gotta hurry up and say this before I fucking lose it. And then they fucking play fucking Coldplay. And like, they play fucking Nobody Said It Was Easy.
That wasn't his favorite band.
Though. No. He didn't play Nobody Said It Was Easy.
Those guys are good.
It was a perfect.
Good music.
It was the perfect montage of his whole fucking career.
Yeah.
Like, him starting, him King of the Ring, like Macho, like, you know, Macho King. Fucking proposal,
yeah.
All everything, even the WCW shit, like the fucking Slim Jim commercials. People lost their mind when they saw that shit. Yeah. Halloween Havocs and shit like that. Like, it was just crazy. I still kind of can't fucking believe it.
Yeah,
because out of all the people back in the day that I actually gave a fuck about, it was Monster Man Randy. So like, I like Hogan, like Sting, but it was just Savage's voice. It was his fucking voice, man. That's what it was. That's what it was. And so, like, you didn't, like...
Nobody impersonates Hogan.
I mean, you can do it.
Everyone, your brother, you know.
Everybody knows all that, but it's not... I mean, Macho Man Randy... I didn't know this man had actual eyes. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Wear no ski.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm saying to myself, how the fuck can he even see through that? He's, like...
He looked like Doc Emmett Brown. He was on another level.
And the Savage I grew up with... I grew up with... Fucking cowboy hat, like Slim Jim Savage.
Oh, that's
my Savage. Colorful Savage.
Yeah. Way too cold.
Loud ass. I mean, way too loud.
Church suits.
like I drive a Slim Jim truck with a cowboy hat on.
Yeah, literally. And when he said, "Ooh yeah," you know what I mean? It was the greatest two words.
Yeah. Ever said out of Dig the it. Human ever.
Half his costume.
I swear to God,
if you go up to
a 60-year-old lady and go, "Ooh yeah," they go, "Macho Man Randy Savage." They go, "Macho Man Randy Savage."
Half his costume was green diamonds. Like, the other half,
he was like
pink checkers
if,
and tassels throughout.
If Harvey Dent lost his mind and still became Two-Face,
right, so he'd be raining. And he was crazy. He'd be Macho.
He has the greatest, like, whatever a wrestler leaves, like, whatever a wrestler goes on television outside of wrestling it's kind of awkward, right? It's weird because they're in their shit. You know, they got their belt, their big ass ridiculous
they
belt
look like
in the real
they
world.
They look stupid.
And they look stupid. Yeah. But here you are watching Macho Man Randy Savage on Arsenio Hall, and you're fucking blown away. He was like, man, I was just sitting there like, damn, he even matches the couch. Like, his Arsenio set was loud as shit, too. He had a loud ass set. He was woo woo. Nigga, shit was loud. And it was the 80s, and it was like.
It was early 90s.
And it, like, if you pay attention, like, Morgan Fairchild is dying laughing at this man's face.
When the Macho Man. I know that fucking. That's whole set.
Me too, dude. When he displays WrestleMania.
Yeah, he's like, it's the Super Bowl of the World Series combined. In the one, Morgan Fairchild, just relax. Don't go crazy like, on me, yeah.
Like if Love you it. Come back to Arsenio Hall, like, you come back because you were so good. Like, we got one again because you're just awesome. But it was just, you know. But it's pretty much like Savage was just the man. And it's like, it's really hard because he didn't do stupid shit like having reality shows and say he was going to retire.
He was very private.
And then, you know what I mean? He didn't do ridiculous shit. He just came out and he fucking entertained, dude. And like, when you think of charisma in wrestling, you think of one fucking person. And you think of Macho Man Randy Savage, hands down. Like, he had the fly ass wife manager for a person to do that. Mm-hmm. Like, he was flamboyant and still masculine at the same time. Like, never shaved his beard. That's fucking amazing.
Holy
like,
shit. You're right.
You've never seen this man's face ever. He's a fucking enigma.
Yeah,
he's a fucking enigma. I'm done.
A remembrance frog.
I don't know, man. It was like, he was an icon.
Was it that time when you sent that snake into their wedding reception?
Funniest shit ever.
You son of a bitch.
That wasn't me. That was my buddy Jake the Snake Roberts.
Oh, shit.
Now, I don't know. Randy Savage is just an icon. And this is not much to say that that hasn't been said before. I mean, he was. One of the things I did know was that he was definitely, like you said, a private dude. There's a show I listened to. This guy Ron Bennington does the Ron and Fez show. He was a stand-up comedy club owner, and radio show host down in Tampa. And he actually knew Savage and would, you know, talk with him a little bit. But he was a real private dude. But he would do the whole kayfabe thing anytime that he'd run into somebody. So he would do the Macho Man routine and all that. Yeah. But he didn't want to be in public because he didn't want to do it.
Right.
So, but he would do it anyway. So whenever you'd run into him, he'd do that whole thing and then just try to get away. It was always. He's always cool with people, but, you know, the same thing. You had to be a little bit of a dick when you were a bad guy and all that. But, I don't know. When he died, I guess I tried to, like I always do, I tried to find all the humorous things possible about him. So, I was just looking for all the jokes I could find on the internet, making a bunch of jokes. Like the Where is Randy Savage one. The best one was the where he's up in heaven, and there's a picture of Jesus looking down on the rapture. And he's like right behind him, giving him the elbow drop, just about to elbow drop Jesus in the head.
Double axe handle.
Double axe handle him in the head. Yeah. So no, that's the best stuff because to be able to realize he was a showman and a larger than life icon. And, you know, he deserved a little bit of a remembrance like that. It's a shame to not be able to see what he could have done in the future, but honestly, he had an incredible career. It was good enough. It was a career that I don't know what else he could have added to make it even more so. He's an icon. He always go down as
another rap album.
Oh yes,
be a man.
Here's how to love wrestling again. YouTube, Macho Man Randy Savage's Gangsta Rap album, where every single song is a diss against Hulk Hogan.
No, fucking lie. No.
It's not exactly
every
what
song,
that is.
He's got the one Kurt Hennig song.
Where he it is?
His special friend, that song. But everything else, yeah. You know.
It's weird for me to talk about Macho because, Chris and I work together. And for a while, the Macho, you know, Where's Macho memes on the computer, people have been putting those up. They were entertaining the living hell out of me. And it definitely brought a whole lot of, like, how important this dude was back. This is before he died, right? Yeah. It just got even more interesting after he died. But, I mean, really, it was, like, months and months of people doing these crazy photo memes. And I remember thinking, both in combination of doing the podcast and having the captain here doing the Macho impersonation, and me, like, over, you know, we've been doing this for a few years now. And every time you do that impersonation, it brings me back to how much fun wrestling was for me. Like, I remember when I was a kid, and even though I don't watch it, you know, at all now, I'm not, you know, I'm not as serious as you guys are about it, but I remember defending it against adults. And I didn't have the right vocabulary, you know? Like, as a kid,
like, fuck
it was,
you, I love it.
No, nah, punch him in the face. I didn't even, I actually felt bad. Because I didn't know why I was defending. Like, I didn't know why it was important to me. I knew that I wasn't just a kid defending my Legos. You know what I mean? I wasn't talking about, like, playing in a sandbox. It was an important thing to me, but I didn't know why, and I didn't know how to say it to them. And years later, and especially at moments like right now, I can think about it and explain. And I'll say this. Wrestling has and always will be, you know, the most, it's going to sound ridiculous, the most Shakespearean expression of masculine popular culture. You know what I mean? It's our soap opera.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a direct mirror for what's going on, and it also is all of our heroes represented again for us. You know what I mean?
Whatever kind of heroes, South Park episode.
Of course. That was I was about to say, you know what I mean? Whatever heroes we need, they're represented. And as an example of that, Macho was not a person. That's probably why he was so secret or so guarded.
He wasn't a nigga,
because when he was
man.
In public, he wanted to be macho for everybody. He was always on, right? Yeah. Like, that's why we all, we never, there's no, he never misspoke. Ooh, yeah. You know what I'm saying? It always came out. It was 110% him. And you never felt like he was making a show for you that he wouldn't do because he wanted to do it. He was never just an employee. He was never just an athlete. He was, like Frog said, he was an entertainer. You know, he was, in a lot of ways, what The Rock is right now, except The Rock's getting the recognition. Well, and maybe Macho didn't necessarily get it the way, you know, in a broader context, because wrestling was still looked at the way that it was in the
80s, 90s. I actually compare Rock to Hogan a lot. I compare Rock to Savage a lot. He's Savage if Savage got Hogan's, like, super fame.
That's only because the people on top didn't push him to do that.
Yeah.
If he had walked out on top, if he had been friends with McMahon walking out of here, he would have been exactly in the same tier as
the
Hogan
irony
and the Rock.
Of that, and that's what I was going to wrap by saying. Like, when Macho died, I didn't feel sad. This is what's different for me. I swear, the first thing I thought was, I said, how'd he die? And as soon as I heard, I said, well, thank God, because you know what? I know it sounds terrible, but he didn't die undignified. He didn't die from a drug overdose.
Yeah.
He didn't fucking juice himself to death.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this, he went out when the fucking limelight was still on him and everybody was still cheering. Everybody still wanted him back on stage. He never went through a Hollywood phase.
People were, like, waiting.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, there's something to be said for the fact that everybody's memory of Macho is kind of the same memory. Like, it's him. Yeah. There's no diluted effect. There's no, like, oh, well, he had to stay in it because he had to keep paying his bills. I don't know. His life might have been shit after he stopped wrestling. But the fact that I don't know and that he remains a hero because of that, that's really powerful for me.
He always said, like, the icon Sting or the icon Hogan. And it's like,
right.
He truly was an icon. That's like, that's
only
you
an
never
icon.
Saw his face.
Right.
Because it was an icon. It was an icon, like, the big windshield wiper glasses.
Yeah.
And, amazing.
And there's also something to be said for the fact that, you know what I mean? Even at the time when he could have been used as a villain, he was always still a great representation of what we needed. You know what I mean? He was always a hero, regardless of the story.
The number one Hall of Fame fan pick for over 10 years.
Like, from the fucking beginning.
From the fucking beginning of the whole Hall of Fame thing. I mean,
even for fucking Drew slammies.
Fucking carry. Got into the WWE Hall of Fame,
dude,
before Macho Man Randy
HBK
Savage.
HBK got in there for Savage. That shouldn't have fucking happened. Yeah, I love
year,
HBK.
This year should have been him. Fucking Michaels can wait. He's still young. He's still young. He may have retired, but you know, he's still young. He could have gone in for 2012. You know, this
fucking Randy
this year
Savage.
Should have been Randy Savage's year. And you know, I will forever be pissed.
Can you imagine? Would you? I can't even fathom his Hall of Fame fucking gathering. It would be the longest standing applause the fuck ever.
Yeah.
People would not sit down.
We're still getting, you know, they're still doing the advertising announcements for inductees and shit. Like, if they don't put him in,
they're going to have to now.
If they don't put him in, I'm done.
And if they put it in, it's going to look like a cop-out. And people are going to call him a cop-out because he's dead. But they already had it in the book in the fucking works anyway.
Yeah.
But they already had it in the works.
Yeah,
they know they're going to die for a fucking
heart attack.
There are
online petitions for this, all of that shit.
Like,
you know,
I mean, if you're doing a promo for a fucking WWE game, the biggest thing WWE sells merchandise wise, I think the fucking tubes have been untied.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, I think shit's cool now. Like, it's all right.
Well, even like, yeah, even the locker room. Like, look how like CM Punk's big lead up to his finisher is he hits the Savage spot.
It's the Savage spot
for his special matches.
With Savage died, it came out with Savage trucks, and they okayed that shit. Yeah. Like.
What was real?
Oh, wait. Big
surprising.
Show.
Huh?
During the Survivor Series, Big Show did a flying elbow drop, too, as a finisher. He got up on the top turnbuckle, did that.
Because he's way too big to do that.
Yeah. It's he's an icon.
If you're wondering why Ian's voice sounds slightly muffled, he's wearing the Sin Cara mask. As we speak, literally.
I want to make a point. Yeah, I'd want to, like, as far as. Macho's death is that these guys, and again, it came from me coming from an indie show recently, where it's a very good guy versus bad guy, and Macho was that character, but also he was the first person that I ever noticed that was always the same, whether the fans loved him or hated him,
yep.
He stayed true to that character,
yeah.
And like
the Macho King and Macho Man are the same person.
Slightly nicer to Liz when he would go face. Slight.
Yeah.
Other than that, you know, he was.
But I think when he died, it was on a personal note, I lost people close to me this past year, and it was, you know, you deal with it, and when you know you learn that Macho died, you know, it's Superman died.
Superman died.
But he comes back. You know, and you think of these characters as, well, you know, you guys have said earlier, I'm just reiterating that these are heroes, they're icons. Nowadays, I feel like they're more like products to sell merchandise.
Yep,
but,
it is.
But, you know, it's like, I don't know what the hell I'm going to do when, like, Steamboat dies. You know, because he was a big role model for me. And Steamboat versus Macho Man, it was probably one of my all-time favorite matches for a lot of personal reasons too. It's like, wow, here's the Asian role model for me, which I didn't have as a little kid,
right.
You know, and it's like he was the perfect foil, and then I got to when I realized that whole match was worked by the two of them together, mostly on Macho's side, it's just like I just gained respect for that guy and his craft, and then you learn, yeah, he was really secretive. It was the first thing I did too was like, it better not have been a drug overdose, because when Elizabeth died, she OD'd on pills.
Yeah,
and
it's all Luger's fault.
Yeah, but yeah, you know, we lose our heroes. It's a sign of growing up. I don't think kids into wrestling now are going to, and it's not me being like crotchety old man. It's not as good as the old days, because the product now even recognizes that they're trying to build those types of characters for kids these days, and it's not where it's going to be. Like, you're not going to have, you know, one freaking John Cena dies or something like that. You know, it's like, it's going to be devastating for a lot of kids, but he's not a icon. Like, he's let
an icon to all the little Jimmy.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is, like I said earlier, they sell him as an icon, but
they
push him as an icon, but he's not selling.
He's not selling it like
he
an icon. Yeah.
The generation.
It was like I was telling Chris last week with the whole Mick Foley thing. I'm like, I don't care how many legends you put in this ring to talk good about this man, you're gonna wind up getting that fucking legend booed.
Yeah.
Talking about John Cena. Yeah. You can say John Cena tied his shoes today. You're gonna get fucking booed.
Fuck you,
I'm not even lying.
Yeah,
yeah, Foley was getting like it's. Last week. It was kind
of
ugly.
They give him a lot of a hard time, Cena. That how do we move from Macho Man to Cena?
Know.
By the way,
I don't know.
Make either way, but,
Cena's got his time in the light right now, and you know. I'll say that I hope that any wrestler that goes the 9 yards winds up getting to Macho Man's place in our hearts, but I know that that's not the truth.
Nope.
It's true.
And then on that note, I want to end things off a little bit differently. We're not going to say a word on this one. I want everyone to give me an ooh, yeah!
Ooh, yeah!